Just last year, I bought a new car. I bought myself a Subaru Outback. And the reason I bought the Subaru was what, you know, the great reputation that I had heard that they have. My sister has one, and she's very happy with it. Janet, my secretary, has one, and she's very happy with it. And also the commercials. Really like the commercials that Subaru puts in. I don't know if you've ever seen the one with the dogs that are driving the car, and there's a mail truck goes by, and the mama dog and the daddy dog and the baby dogs are just, they're driving their Subaru and they're barking at the mail truck. Or I think there's another one where, you know, the daddy dog is driving the car and his mama, they're Labrador retrievers, and the mama dog is right next to him, and this, they're stopped at a stop sign, and a very manicured poodle walks across. And you can see the daddy dog going like that. And the mama dog next is looking at him going. Anyway, I liked the commercials, and I have a very positive attitude. I developed a very positive attitude to my Subaru. And so I bought one. And when I bought it, I got this owner's manual with it. Now, I was going to bring in the actual owner's manual, but I left it in the car. So I want you to make believe that this is the owner's manual. Well, it's about the right size for an owner's manual of any car. Now, I bought that Subaru because my sister told me it was great. My secretary told me it was great. The commercials make me laugh. And I had heard that it's got a good reputation. And so the very day that I get my Subaru last year, what do I get? I get a book. I get a book that's full of rules. It's full of rules that I have to follow in owning this car. I did not buy it so that I would have to follow a bunch of rules. I didn't buy it for that reason. I bought it because I wanted it and I thought it would help me and it would be a good car. And what do I get? I didn't get the fun commercials. I got rules. Well, I don't want the rules. What's going to happen? What I'm going to do is I want my freedom. I bought that car so that I could have the freedom of a four-wheel drive. I bought it so that I could have the freedom to go out into the outback. After all, isn't it called an outback? I want the freedom to go out into the outback and to be able to go wherever I want to go. I want the freedom, since it's four-wheel drive, I want the freedom to be able to go through Houston with periodically flooding and move into where the waters are deep and go, no problem, I have an outback. And I want to be able to have the freedom to do that. That's why I want my freedom. And I don't want any stupid rule book telling me what I have to do. I paid for the car. It's mine. I'm not going to have a stupid rule book. Tell me anything. I'll do what I want. It's my freedom. Interesting line of argument, isn't it? Now, what's going to happen to my Subaru if I say, to heck with that book? I'm going to put into that car what I freely choose to put in that car because it's mine and I want my freedom. And so I'm going to put the cheapest gas that I can find. If I have to repair it, I'm not going to take it to Subaru. I'm going to find the cheapest mechanic I can. And he's going to repair it. And if he has to, you know, some rigs, some parts to get it in, that's okay. Because it's my car and it's my freedom. Now, if I follow this kind of argument, what's going to happen in a couple of years to my Subaru? Well, you know what's going to happen. You know, you can already tell. I am technically free to do whatever the heck I want with that car. I'm technically free. But that doesn't mean that when I exercise that technical freedom, that there won't be consequences. There are going to be major consequences as slowly the car begins to be damaged, and ultimately the car will get to a point where it's either so abused and the engine's gummed up, or it's just going to die on me if I don't do the proper maintenance. But notice, I exercised my freedom. What I'm trying to help you to see today is that the Catholic tradition, the Catholic interpretation of Christianity, and I always want you to remember when I use the word Catholic, where you're talking about an adjective. It's just a shortened way of talking, because periodically I still get people that come up to me and say, are you Catholic or are you a Christian? Okay? I get that. And I look at them and I say, let me ask you a question. Am I a bald or am I a man? I am a bald man. One is an adjective, one is a noun. Okay? So when I say the Catholic Church, I'm talking about the Catholic interpretation of the Christian message. But we just shorten it to Catholic. When the Catholic Church interprets freedom, there are what we mean by freedom is not necessarily what the United States means by freedom. They're not totally opposite. But they're not the same thing. Now, I'm going to give you the two ends of freedom. They're the two extreme definitions of freedom that can be used. What is the definition of freedom in the United States? Or like as interpreted by the Supreme Court or something like that? Freedom means, as long as I don't hurt anybody else, I have the freedom, I want the freedom to do whatever I want to do. Not only that, but I want the freedom with everything I own, and it's mine no matter what, And even my own body belongs to me. My body, my choice. I am free to do whatever the heck I want with my body, with my possessions. I am free to do whatever I want with my family. It's mine. That's one interesting effect of freedom. As a matter of fact, I just applied it to my Subaru. I just said, I'm going to do whatever I want with my Subaru. And I'm not going to have the people at Subaru telling me what to do with my car. And so, to heck with that manual. Now, when the Catholic Church says freedom, we don't mean that. We don't mean that. When we say freedom, what we mean is listening so that you can become who you were made to be. Now that's a little bit different. Notice I said, listening so that you can become what you were made to be. Now let's analyze that for a second and bring it back to my Subaru. The engineers at Subaru built a very good car. They are the creators, right, of this car, and the factory made that car. But when the engineers made that car, they knew that the way that they were defining that car had certain implications. It can only work correctly if you maintain it according to the rule book. And so in the rule book, what they do is they tell you, use this kind of gasoline. Use this kind of oil. Every interval, you must take it to get these things done. And they should be done by a person who knows what they are doing. Notice that in the manual, all they're doing is giving me commandments. They are the Subaru commandments. Why are they giving Subaru commandments to me? Because they know that the real freedom of owning that car is not to do whatever the heck I want with it. It's to care for it the way that it was built so that the car can be itself and give me the enjoyment of driving it where they said it would work. Now, what I want you to notice is that in this definition of freedom, the definition of freedom starts with obedience. Now that may sound weird, but it starts with obedience. Why? Because what I have to do is I have to be obedient to the manual. I have to be obedient to the commandments of the people who made the car. And so that my behavior can help me own that car and that car become what it was made to be. And so I begin by consulting, reading the manual and say, what are the commandments? What kind of gasoline should I use? What kind of oil should I use? How often should I do? And notice, when I do that, when I follow the commandments, that car becomes the car it was designed to be. Just because I have the freedom not to follow that manual from that other perspective doesn't mean that the car is going to behave according to the way that it was built. What happens to a lot of us, especially in the United States, because in the United States, we are constantly very fond of saying, I am a free man, I am a free woman. I do whatever I want. And what the Catholic tradition, the understanding of Christianity, is saying to you is, no, you can't. Because the moment you violate the specifications that you were made with by God, you are going, and your life is going to break down. You see, when God made you, you are a creature. I am a creature. That car is a creature. The car does not have the power, and I don't have the power to redefine what that car is. It comes already designed. What I have to do is obey the specifications of the designer. Now, it's really interesting because we think of the word obey, and what we think is, oh, slave, I'm not free because I must obey. No. Do you know where the word obey comes from? I love this one. Obey comes from, or obedience comes from two words, obey and dire. Now, any of you who speak a little Spanish, you will be able to hear it. Obey, dire, obedience. Obey, what does it mean? Switch the B to a Y in Spanish, and what do you get? You get oye. And oye means listen. Listen. And the word dire, obey dire, dire to what I have said to you. Obey dire means listen closely to what I have said to you. When you listen closely, like I am doing with the manual, then you are able to internalize and say, ah, that is the way you made the car. Therefore, if I listen closely and use the car according to its design, I will have the freedom of owning a great car. That's the way God built you. God made you, and so the reason he gives us commandments and the reason he wants us to follow them is so that we can be humans the way he designed us to be humans. The commandments are not to harass you. I hear this all the time, you know. I hear people saying, I don't want to be Catholic. It's all these rules. All these rules. The rules are not there to harass you. They're not there to harass you. The rules are there when you listen, when you obey them, obey dire, when you listen closely. Ask yourself, what is the value that they're trying to teach me? What is the value that is being expressed? For example, when you drive a car, there is a rule that if you drive up to an intersection and you see a red light, you stop. No, you don't gun it. You stop. Why is that rule there? Is it there to harass and to give you the, not to allow you the experience of feeling free on the road? Of course not. It's there for your safety. Because if you don't stop, you may die. That's why it's there. Now, do you always obey the rules? That's good, because this is what's happening in the gospel today, is that the Pharisees have divorced the rules from their intent. And so let me give you an example of a rule with that intent. The light is red. It's the middle of the night, okay? Your wife is pregnant and you're heading towards the hospital. And you get a red light. As your wife is writhing next, having labor pains in the next car, do you kind of sit there and wait? Well, nobody's coming, but it's a red light. Sorry, honey, I don't violate the law. Yes, scream a little louder, dear. Okay, do you do that? No! Why? Because in your head, you know what the rule was made for. In the normal circumstances, that's what you should do. But in this circumstance, blow the red light. It's not so big. Nobody would fault you. You got an emergency. The people who made that rule never expected you to sit while somebody died next to you because you stopped at a red light. The church is the same thing. The scribes and the Pharisees had interpreted, for example, let me give you an example. The scribes and the Pharisees had interpreted that since God had said, you shall not do any servile work, service work on the Sabbath. And so the scribes and the Pharisees said, we want to be good Jews. And so we're not going to do any work. And so somebody had the brilliant idea to say, what's work? Okay, we know we shouldn't go to work. But like, for example, is cooking work? To a lot of people, cooking is work, especially in the first century. Nope, we can't cook. When you walk, are you making your body work? Well, yeah. Well, then you can't walk very much on the Sabbath because you're violating the Sabbath. If a chicken lays an egg, did she labor? My God, it's an unclean egg. You see where this is going? This is going towards total paralysis. And what God had intended from the beginning was a day of rest. And by their interpretation, they turned it into a total paralysis. And that's when Jesus got so frustrated, because they're saying your disciples are doing something that's not permitted on the Sabbath. And that's when Jesus said, oh, for God's sake. Well, that's my interpretation. But he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Do you hear it? Do you see the extremes of how things just flow between, I want to do whatever the heck I want. No, you must follow the rules. And what gets lost is the center. Because the center is, the rules are given by a God who loves you. And there, he's given them to you so that under normal circumstances, you will do what is good for you and for other people. And what Jesus was fighting during his time was people who were saying, rule, 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 only the rule. And what we're doing during our time is the opposite. I don't care about the rules. I'm going to do whatever I want. And so you see what happens? Both are wrong. Both are wrong. So, closing. Whenever you encounter, and you will, rules that come from the church, stop a minute and ask yourself, and if you don't know, look it up. What are they trying to tell me? What are they trying to tell me that is good? And you will hear it. Because the whole book, there's a huge book called Of Canon Law, The Law of the Catholic Church. And do you know what the last one and the first one canon say? All law in the church is meant to help people in the salvation of their souls. If you interpret any church law outside of helping you to be a better person, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. But yet, we all walk around doing that because we don't think it through. So, law, that book, it's for your good. Interpreted correctly, you're going to be a happy person. God bless. Thank you very much for listening.